on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, welcoming Professor H.J. Mackinder. At 6 months of the crisis in Ukraine and Europe, to comment on three capitals and three points of view: Moscow, Kyiv, and Brussels. Professor, a very good evening to you. The news from Moscow these last days is a request, a presidential decree, an order goes out for an additional 137,000 soldiers for the Russian military. And this will add to the 1.15 million said to be under arms now. That's the significant event of the week after months of being told about this special military operation. I'm told that this is not mobilization. This is somewhere in between special military operation and mobilization. But it does point to severe losses in Ukraine and a shortage of plans for the future until and if they provide the manpower to sustain the war. Good evening to you, Professor.
Good evening, sir. I think that the call for more troops indicates that Russia is firmly committed to this war. In the last 10 days, perhaps the most important sound I think we've heard is the door to a negotiated peace, which people fantasized about. We heard it click shut. We're now in a war that, as a colleague of mine said yesterday, it could last decades, but it's a real war, and it's going to have to be fought out. And there are really two questions I'd like to talk about. The first is, why is Putin doing this? And the second is, what is the situation that Russia now faces? There have been a number of explanations of why Putin did this, and they keep shifting according to what he says. I think initially it was thought of as the whim of an autocrat. Then we got geopolitical imperatives driven by this alleged relentless onslaught of NATO moving eastward, which, of course, I mean, it's not a danger. NATO moving eastward is not, none of that. Geopolitical imperatives. But the latest thing we've heard is one of the people in our administration is now touting a paper that Putin wrote in July 2021 about the historical unity of the Russians and the Ukrainians. Basically, the Belarusians and other Slavs. And it's worth pointing out that this is the tip of an iceberg, of the iceberg of an absolutely huge academic debate, which ultimately comes down to whether the Slavs are Germans. And this is why it's so heated, although I don't think Putin's aware of it. But let me just jump into the historical complications. The word Russia comes from Rus, and the leader of the Rus was someone called Rurik. And under the last monarchy of Russia, the emperor had to be a descendant of Rurik. And now, who were the Rus? Well, if you ask a room full of professors, you'll probably start a fight. But I think most people agree that they were Vikings. They were Normans. And the way they moved in was by going in to the river systems of Russia, accessible from the Baltic and so forth, and then finding their way all the way overland to Constantinople, which was the other end of a trading route that began in Sweden. And this created a loose federation of locals organized by Vikings that became Kievan Rus, or Kievan Russia, which lasted from 882 to 1240. Now, the Rus were very intelligent. If you look at the first generation, they all had Norman sounding names. The second generation, they were all named things like Olga. I mean, they immediately assimilated to the Russian world. However, it's clear that Kievan Rus, which of course was destroyed by the Mongols, was a creation. It was an organization by a very mobile and militarily effective group, namely the Vikings. It was an organization of a vast and scattered population that had existed in Russia. And its connection, Kievan Rus's connection, with the Grand Duchy of Muscovy, which emerges eventually after the Mongols, there is a connection, but it isn't really very strong. As for Slav, and I'm mentioning this because Mr. Putin is laying great stress on something called Slavdom. Well, Slav in current usage is a word that goes back to Greek, and it is based on the word that hundreds, tens of thousands of people who were extracted from what is today Eastern or Western Russia and made into slaves, the word that they used to identify themselves at the slave markets in places like Venice and Prague. And so we don't know what this word that people, that the slave traders heard them saying meant in their own language, in the native language of the slaves, but it sounded enough like Slav. You got a Greek word and then a Latin word by the 6th century based on this. Now, this raises a question. How many of the people of today's Russia could really say that they are Slavs? Well, the population figures we give today basically say it's about 79%. But those are concentrated overwhelmingly in the western parts of Russia. Remember, Russia is almost 7 million square miles. It's twice the size of Canada, yet it has a population of only 140 million. And you have the question, who are Slavs? Well, of course, maybe the people in Moscow are Slavs. Are the Finns Slavs? No, they're not. Are the Turks Slavs? No. Are the Mongols Slavs? No. So it's clear that much of the territory of today's Russia was not originally inhabited by Slavs. They moved there and took control of relatively small but powerful populations. By the same token, how many Slavs are there who are in Russia? Well, most of the Western Slavs, which is to say above all the Poles, the Czechs, the Slovaks, and so forth, are not and have rarely been, Poland for a while, part of Russia. They have a quite distinct religion and nationality. You also have the Wends or Lusatians, who are the original inhabitants of the area of Berlin. They are Slavs. And of course, you have the Southern Slavs. Yugoslavia means Southern Slavs. And they've never been part of Russia. So if Putin were following if he were attempting to put together a nationality or an ethnicity, this is the very odd. Russia doesn't correspond. The map of Russia does not overlay well with the land of the Slavs. Why is it that until recently Russian historiography, really until the end of the Soviet Union, Russian historians were not allowed to say that the Vikings were the people who first organized Slavdom? And the reason is really that the Vikings are in some sense Teutonic. They're German in the old 19th century category. And that means that that would make the Slavs somehow, that would make the population of Russia somehow Germanic. And when Stalin is invading, that's not something you want. So ideas of an indigenous origin of Russia, not based on organization by an outside power, became popular in the 18th century. Lomonosov, the great polymath, proposed this. But the most important figure was really Stalin's policeman, academician Rybakov, whom I remember, who simply stifled any archaeological discoveries which suggested a kinship between the Normans and Russia, of which there were many such archaeological discoveries. So, what can we say about Putin's reason? His reason for starting a war now, we're being told by an expert, Mrs. Hill in Washington, Dr. Hill, that it has to do with his ethnic ideas is, I don't think that's right. Let's not over-explain. Putin is not a deep student of history, but I would say that his theory, that Hitler's theory of the Germans is more coherent than Putin's theory of the Slavs, but Putin's theory of the Slavs is more coherent than Churchill's idea of the British Empire. So there, in a very large nutshell, is the pseudo-scientific, scientific archaeological, and what background to that's currently being wheeled into this debate. I don't believe for a minute that this war began because of a sundered kinship between the Ukrainian and Russian people. I don't see, Putin is not someone who thinks that way. So
the professor is referring to an essay at Foreign Affairs magazine by Fiona Hill and Angela Stent. And in part, it's a very elaborate argument, but I'll read these sentences. Putin laid out this mission in a 5,000-word treatise published in July 2021 entitled On the Historical Unity of Russians and Ukrainians, end quote. In this essay, President Putin insisted that Belarusians, Russians, and Ukrainians are all descendants of the Rus, an ancient people who settled the lands between the Black and Baltic Seas. He asserted that they are bound together by a common territory and language, and the Orthodox Christian faith. In Putin's version of history, Ukraine has never been sovereign, except for a few historical interludes, when it tried and failed to become an independent state. Putin wrote that Russia was robbed of core territory when the Bolsheviks created the Soviet Union in 1922 and established the Ukrainian Soviet Socialist Republic. In Putin's telling, since the Soviet collapse, the West has used Ukraine as a platform to threaten Russia, and it has supported the rise of neo-Nazis, in quotes. Putin's essay, which every soldier sent to Ukraine is supposed to carry, ends by asserting that Ukraine can only be sovereign in partnership with Russia. We are one people, Vladimir Putin declares. Professor H.J. Machender, international relations, commenting on Moscow point of view, Kremlin point of view, Putin point of view. We're going to turn to Keef. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.